Hello and welcome to Dotto Tech. I'm Steve Dotto. Glad you could join us today. This show's dedicated to helping you get the most out of your technology wherever you use it, at home, at school, or at work. Well, you might notice a slight difference in the show this week. That's because for the next month, we're going to be just podcasting. We're not going to be live on radio as we usually are. Slight difference in audio quality as well as I had a slight glitch with a piece of my audio gear, so I'm actually recording this week's show just on a straight old USB headset. So I apologize to all listeners who are expecting stellar quality, and it's going to be something a little bit less, but the content will still be good, I can promise you. So for the next, just to recap, for the next month or so, we are going to be just podcasting weekly, and then we're back on the air in the beginning of April, I guess, with new shows back on AM 650 in the Vancouver area as Dotto Tech continues down the road. Well, the news this week, what we're going to be talking about almost all day today, will certainly be the launch of the new iPad. Apple's not calling it the iPad 3, no, but it is called the new iPad. And if you followed any of the news or listened to us talking about the new device as it was being promoted over the last few months, there was really not too much of a surprise. Apple's legendary lockdown of all things leaked didn't really affect the launch of the new iPad. We knew it was going to be Retina display, which gives us now 1024 by 1536 pixels. Indeed, it does have a much higher resolution. It's got a much faster processor. It has built-in 4G LTE technology, to which us in Canada is very exciting because all three of our major carriers have now rolled out LTE in the major urban centers. So if you do get an iPad, a new iPad equipped with LTE, you're going to benefit from some very high-speed mobility access to the internet. It's got a battery that will allow it to last a little bit longer, in bearing in mind that with LTE technology, it's going to suck up juice a little bit faster. So it's a little bit thicker as a result, but also it's thicker because it's got a higher resolution camera, which kind of slipped by through most of the reviews, but a higher resolution camera, so it's going to do us capable of shooting, for example, HD video. So it's got a few extra features in those areas as well. Pricing is going to stay pretty much flat with what the existing pricing is. One really exciting part of the announcement, as far as I was concerned, was the fact that Apple is reducing the price of the iPad 2, and they're keeping it out there. They're keeping the iPad 2 in the marketplace with an eye on the education market, and that is going to enter the market now at $399 as a base price. So they've knocked about $100 off the price of that for the 16 gig version, which makes it very appealing to schools, to education, which is going to make it a real contender. And hopefully, it's still, I don't think it's quite reached the price point where it's going to be that education really needs to jump on board with, wholeheartedly on the whole tablet computing concept. But it's certainly going to make it a lot easier for a lot more schools to engage. Along with the hardware announcement came a whole series of software announcement, including updated versions of GarageBand, Sketchbook, iPhoto, iMovie. A new game was showcased called the Infinity Blade game series was showcased. So there was a fair bit of extra excitement around some of the software that was being showcased. And not to be lost, Apple also announced a new Apple TV. Unfortunately, not the Apple TV we were all looking for. Unfortunately, this isn't a brand new actual TV set, but a brand new version of the Apple TV, of the little module that we plug into our TV and we use to access all of our streaming content. Much more iOS 5 type interface. It looks a lot more, it's more unified in the interface with what's happening on the iPhone and on the iPad. Higher resolution, so it does full HD now, and it is remaining at the $99 price point. So that was the other announcement. There was some speculation that there would be an actual TV showcase, but no, we're just going to be staying with the same. The TV interface is the Apple TV, and that was the only announcement of that sort that happened in the rollout of product today. But of course, the star of the show today, the new iPad, not the iPad 3, the new iPad, which main features, faster processor, higher resolution screen, and LTE access. We've been talking a lot about LTE on the show for the last couple of weeks. And so those are all things that we will take a good close look at as we discuss the new iPad with our guests today on Dotto Tech. And Joining me online now is Michael Kozlowski. Of course, Michael is the uber geek at goodyreader.com. He's covering all the stuff that goes on in the ebook market. And Michael, I really wanted to get your take today, especially on one of the comments out of Tim Cook early on in the presentation, where he was talking about the popularity of the iPad as a variety of different platforms. He said it's the most popular ebook reader out there, that one of the things that people like to use the iPad for the most was read ebooks. Did you notice that comment?
Yeah, I noticed that. And I think more or less it's true, just because most people have iPads more than any other device, because Kindle and a lot of ebook readers, it's all about where you live. And if you live outside the US, you're pretty limited with content. Whereas with the Apple iPad, there's just so many platforms that you can buy into that you have no shortage of books to read.
Yeah, between iBooks and all of the others, it's really become ubiquitous in a lot of the spaces. So what was your initial take on the new iPad? Did it excite you, or was it kind of ho-hum?
Well, I think that what excited me was just the high resolution and the fact that with the new pixels density that it's offering, that it's going to be better than HD TV. I think it's, you know, without getting into the actual semantics, I mean, it's a Retina display, and looking at some of the pictures that they were showing off during the presentation, it's going to make a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. And as people start to look at books in a different way, the sort of content that they can deliver to the screen in a high def screen like that, it's going to modify. You know, I was thinking about the education market, which I'm so interested in with the iPad. I was just thinking about how textbooks are just going to be no longer just print, you know, and no longer just text. All of the different graphics and multimedia and all of the different elements that they can incorporate in is going to just change the learning experience.
And that's what's really excited me beyond all else, given that the fact of the hardware spec enhancements and it has LTE now. I really dig the fact that it's going to be able to give you higher resolution pictures, higher resolution video. So if you look at textbooks and enhanced ebooks, it's going to really take it to the next level, because people really won't be restricted to a certain size of graphics or having to optimize things for a screen that can't really push as many pixels. So I really do think that right away, beyond movies and games and apps and things like that, that ebooks are probably the most exciting thing. And it's just not ebooks and education textbooks, which I'm really excited about, but think about how magazines are going to look now.
Absolutely, as they start to blend all of the different media into that. But it's not smaller. It got bigger. I think the iPad 2 was too big to comfortably carry around for reading. You know, I've always preferred the smaller format of the Kindle or the Kobo. But so it's actually gotten a little bit bigger and a little bit heavier. So we're still struggling with that. But they need that extra size for the larger battery, for the higher resolution screen, and for the processor, because they've really increased the processing power as well, which you need to drive this HD video.
Yeah, exactly. And same with the new 4G. I mean, if you have a phone, you know that the higher connection that you have, it often hinders the battery life. So one of the things that Apple really stressed during the presentation, that battery life will remain the same. Mm-hmm. And the trade-off is that it's a little bit bigger, but it's not by much. If you have the iPad 1 or iPad 1, it's going to almost seem a little bit lighter, whereas the iPad 2 was slimmer in profile.
You write reviews on all of the other tablets on an ongoing basis, and Apple was pretty they were pretty forthcoming at the beginning, saying that, you know, nobody even comes close to touching our numbers, and the numbers do back them up with the volume of sales. Is this Apple again just stretching their lead on the competition?
I think so. I mean, the Apple is a runaway success. All statistics and numbers, which we follow quite regularly, they control about 75 to about 78% of the entire tablet market. And no other company even controls 5% of it. So the numbers really do speak for themselves on the type of stranglehold that Apple has on a tablet industry. But it's with good reason. It's quality products. The ecosystem is really unrivaled. And with the quad core graphics processor and everything else now with the newest model, even the rear-facing camera is 5 megapixels now. Yeah. So just even taking pictures and video is going to be kicked up a notch.
And they will it'll record high-def video as well, which is, again, that they need that the stronger graphics processor to handle that. As far as the ebook world, you know, this is kind of a split announcement because Apple's last announcement, their last press event, when they released their authoring system for textbooks and stuff, that was you know, really a big foray into the education market and kind of stake their claim in that market. The end result that I wonder about is there any contender that you look at and you say they have a chance, or are they all such long shots right now that, you know, kind of so far behind that it's anybody's guess as to who second place is?
Well, second place is Amazon with the Kindle Fire, and they are statistically wise probably the best-selling Android device since about November of last year. Mm-hmm. And it's the Amazon ecosystem. So they are pretty well almost similar to Apple in the respect that they do offer a copious amount of apps. They have all their own books. They've started a new publishing division. So they're actually going to be signing authors and publishing the authors themselves rather than relying exclusively on Penguin, Simon & Schuster, and companies like that.
Okay. So Amazon's Kindle Fire is still just kind of... They are, but they're so far behind. I'm sure that Apple kind of is not too worried about them. But they probably should be worried about what's happening between Amazon and Google, because Google is still kind of hanging around the whole space, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. There's a lot of rumors in the spaces right now that Google is probably going to be releasing a new tablet that's going to be about $199, 7-inch tablet. And the big rumor right now is they're going to be either dealing with Asus or Samsung to do the hardware, and then Google will sort of take the loss on giving a great hardware thing away, just totally enamored with the entire Google the ebooks, the apps, the movies, and everything like that they offer.
And it's certainly not going to be hard to get Samsung to jump on board anything anti-Apple with the way that they're going at each other, hammer and tong on lawsuit front. So what is the news that in the ebook world from Google? They've been doing a lot of steps of consolidating their resources, you know, bringing all of their privacy settings under a single setting. What's going on in your world with Google?
Well, they just revised the entire Google Android market, which has really been around for only about 3 years. But this is the first time that they have basically grabbed everything from the Google ecosystem under one banner. So they offer movies, books, apps, games, and everything else. So they basically consolidated a lot of their independent services and put them all under the Google Android market, which has now been rebranded Google Play.
Mm-hmm. So is that an Android only? Is all of that content only fit in the Android market, or can it flow into some of the other platforms?
Well, everything but books and movies could flow into other platforms. So the one cool thing about Google Books is that a lot of tablets just don't have the ability to connect up to the Google Android market, and that's been one of the largest shortcomings with it. With books, Google actually has an HTML5 based reader, so you could read books on your PC, you can download them to your PC and then transfer them to your e-reader or other tablet device that you may have.
And HTML5 is a lot of the future of that whole space. It holds a promise of being a ubiquitous format, but I don't know if the reality is going to quite live up to that.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of hype. From what I found is that HTML5 is good for end users to be able to read media online because, let's face it, I mean, developers that make e-reading apps, if you are, say, an Amazon, you're making apps for, so you know, Windows phone, you're making it for, you know, 30 different operating system and devices, so... If you have just HTML5, you could deliver a store experience, a reading experience that's compatible with almost every browser using almost any singular device. So I think for smaller companies, HTML5, especially to read books, is solid because you're not – limited to working under one specific ecosystem, but you can make an HTML5 reader app, and I could use it on my BlackBerry Playbook. I could use it on my Asus Transformer Prime. I could even use it on my iPad if I wanted to.
And I guess the big challenge for the marketplace, as opposed to between HTML5 and normal apps that would be dedicated to any one platform, just is got to be security. I mean, the bottom line is it's going to be much more difficult to create the kind of security environment in HTML5 as you can in a lockdown app that you create yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the biggest concern that a lot of companies had over Adobe Flash before that they discontinued their mobile endeavors. It was just unsecure. And all the time you saw, you know, security breaches. And famously, that's why Steve Jobs and Apple declined on integrating Flash into their iPad, because they just found it too unsecure.
It's certainly one of the big reasons. The other big reason, of course, was the amount of overhead that it took, and the amount of, and also the amount of crashes. That the Apple had some statistics of the number of failures with devices that harken back to a Flash error, and it was a little too on the unstable side. But security had to be number one. Let's kind of switch to the colloquial market a bit, and a big announcement coming out of the Vancouver Public Library.
Yeah, apparently they just signed up with Overdrive, and Overdrive is pretty well the premier lending service for libraries. So libraries will do business with Overdrive in order to facilitate digital content such as audiobooks and ebooks. And Vancouver Library, so the big library downtown, now has the ability for patrons to both check out ebooks and audiobooks as long as you have a library card.
And we've had this for a while in the Fraser Valley system, which is the one that I belong to, and of course many other libraries have signed on with Overdrive. The challenge that I have you played with it yet, Mike?
Yeah.
The challenge that I have is it's not a very user-friendly interface, unless the Vancouver Public Library has upped the ante as far as making it a little bit easier. But just so we can kind of take a step back, the ebooks that you're going to be borrowing from the library, it's a complicated licensing setup with Overdrive, because Vancouver Public Library, if let's say we're talking about The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, the book, they will license X number of copies. It's not like they license The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo and then as many people who want to read it in ebook format read it. No, they have to set it down as though it's a physical book so that you can download it onto your ebook reader. It'll last for 3 weeks and then it'll be disabled on your reader. So they have a system that has to manage this. I find it difficult to download and install the books on my devices. I find I think my library's case, we have to use an Adobe product, you probably know the name, I've lost the name.
Adobe Digital Editions.
Adobe Digital Editions to do it, and I found it confusing. And me, computer guy, found it confusing, so I can't imagine what Joe Q Public was thinking.
Yeah, it's definitely a convoluted process, and it's not too user-friendly. Although Overdrive does have applications, say, for the BlackBerry Playbook and for Google Android, so you can both read or to check out books and then read them with an app. So okay, it takes a little bit of that away, but for most e-readers like the Kobo and various other devices, yeah, you have to jump through a number of hoops in order to transfer those books to your device, and it's beyond most users, although Overdrive does try to make the process easy.
Well, it behooves them to do that, but they have to. They're not there yet. and obviously, if you've played with the Vancouver Public Library, they haven't reached the stage of being there yet either. However, if you are willing to take on the challenge, it sure is a great way to enhance your library. The nice thing is, you don't have somebody's germs on the digital edition that you read.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I like. Michael Kozlowski is the editor of goodereader.com. They cover all things e-reader. You do a weekly podcast as well on tech, and I thank you for your time, sir.
No problem. Glad to be here.
Joining me online now, our expert on everything mobile, Paul DeMera. Hey, Paul, what do you think? What was your first impression of an iPad, or the new iPad? Not iPad 3, the new iPad.
the first thing is it's going to be hard to remember what to call it. Because we're expecting to call it the iPad 3. I was impressed. I think they've done a lot of great things to try to improve the product. So, you know, I was pleasantly surprised. I think some of it was a little bit anticlimactic because we thought it was coming this way. But you know,
well, the Apple's rumor squelching capabilities on this weren't at their best. Pretty much all of the features that we expected were there, and almost nothing, and really nothing new. I mean, some software tweaks in some of the software apps that nobody was paying much attention to, but pretty much all of the core features were ones that had been leaked to the press or speculated weeks in advance.
Exactly. It was something that we all kind of had a hunch was going to happen, and there really weren't any big surprises, to be honest with you. It was pretty much expected.
Yeah. So of the new features, which ones turn your crank?
The biggest one is exactly what's probably going to turn everybody's crank. The Retina display is something that I don't think until you see a Retina display you appreciate the relevance of it, but jumping up to that level of resolution where it's even beyond 1080p, it's a 3-megapixel LCD, that's going to be stunning for everything you do. I mean, everything's going to look amazing on it.
To put it in perspective, when they were showcasing it, it's actually higher resolution on this little 9-inch screen than most people's high-def TVs at home.
It was actually higher resolution than their projector they were using. They had to downscale the image to get it on the screen at the Apple event, and that's never happened before, right?
Yeah. So now I am surprised though that you picked number one to be the screen. I would have thought that built-in LTE would be what caught your attention.
Well, that's probably right next to the screen. I think obviously the screen is going to be on every model. So if you're a Wi-Fi user, you know, like I am still, I use a little hotspot, right, that you've talked about before. So for me, the screen is first. The LTE is obviously amazing because it's going to enable you to basically have, you know, 15, 20 megabits per second on the downlink side. The other nice thing is the radio does HSPA plus dual carrier. So if you happen to be in a market that doesn't have LTE yet, you still get really fast wireless. It should be somewhere between 10 and 15 megabits per second on the HSPA plus dual carrier. So yeah, it's all good.
So it'll change the way that it'll certainly for people that are consuming large amounts of data, it'll change it. Now, are you? I guess the bottom line though is, are you ordering one?
Yes, I just I have to decide. You know, which color I want. I've never bought a white one yet, so I'm entertaining that. And you know, you have the choice now, right? So white or black. All my other Apple products are all black, so I'm thinking about changing it up a little bit.
Okay, so going to white. Now, of course, you'll be going for the 64 gig LTE version, I imagine.
I always get the largest RAM. You know what? You never regret having more space.
Yeah.
I can see this being used a lot for video editing, too. I was impressed with where they went with that. And so, yeah, more RAM is a good thing.
The new iMovie, certainly, that is going to, for people that are starting to play in that space, it's becoming very functional. And the new features in iPhoto or in the photo app are also very, obviously, going along with that screen and the larger resolution camera, it's going to become much more of a photo app. And if I was a photographer, I would be first in line for this particular product. Because in the field, as you're taking pictures, working with the images, transferring them over to it, doing quick editing, it's going to be an amazing tool for the field photographer.
Yeah, it's all touch based. The demonstration on the keynote that Tim Cook gave, you know, a couple of quick swipes with your fingers, and he took photographs that were kind of bland and ordinary, and totally made them pop. And
yeah,
simple and fast and easy, just like everything else Apple does, right?
Yeah. Now, I though am not going to jump on it because here's the thing. It doesn't do anything really new that I couldn't do before. It does everything better, but it doesn't do anything new. And I'm pretty well set up, and so I've just kind of, I just don't see the incremental value over what I would get from my old iPad 2, which is just working just great, and it's a big part of my life. So I'm just going to wait a little bit. I'm going to wait.
A fair bit. You know, I think if you have an iPad 1, you're going to jump up to the iPad 3 because there's a big change
coming.
Big
difference.
But in reality, for me, it's really about my wife because she wants the iPad 2 that I have. So
oh.
I have some motivation.
So you're going to take one for the team, are you, Paul?
Something like that, yeah.
Here, honey, I'll sacrifice this and just get myself a new one.
That's our rule in the house. If I get technology, she has to get something too. So
let's circle back because in Canada, with the competition between our major carriers, and of course you're with Rogers, in Canada the LTE network has been rolled out by all three major carriers. We're actually ahead of, I think, the states as far as the LTE implementation. What sort of data packages are people going to want to be looking at when they get the iPad?
I haven't looked to see if we've posted anything new on the website yet. I mean, the original package was $50 for 10 gigabytes. I know there's been some adjustments made, but I haven't seen the new numbers yet. So I suspect we'll come out with some sort of an add-on pack. The other thing about the iPad, the new iPad, is it's also a wireless hotspot. So, you know, your 2 today doesn't allow you to do that, but an iPhone 4 or 4S does.
Exactly.
Well, this device is going to also be a wireless hotspot on LTE. So that may be more attractive for some people as far as hooking it up for data.
Could you envision people replacing their phone with this device and just going on the data package and then just using a VoIP-type application for all of their telephony?
It depends what you need to do, but, you know, you could certainly use Skype on it. Mm-hmm. There's other applications out there that do voice. So it's certainly possible to use it as a voice device. I mean, you can't really hold it up to your head like a phone, but if you have a Bluetooth headset or a plug-in headset, you certainly could do that.
Yeah, and as people are moving away from using their phone as a phone and becomes more of a data device, it just becomes a super data device as far as that goes. And with that speed, you know, any video conferencing, audio conferencing, I mean, we're recording this interview right now over Skype, so the quality, although my headset sucks because I've got my audio interface died just before we recorded this week's show, so I'm actually on a $50 Logitech headset. But the quality of Skype and other VoIP services has really gone through the roof as long as you have some decent bandwidth, and with LTE you're going to have decent bandwidth.
Yeah, and I've tested on the HSPA Plus. I've done a bunch of evaluation just to see how well it works, because if I'm going to talk about it to people that I know, I want to make sure that I have some experience. It's been amazing, actually, and right now this call, interestingly enough, I'm using an LTE modem, a Sierra 313 on my MacBook Pro. And that's where this call is going. It's completely wireless, right?
Mm. And so, as far as I can tell, the quality is great. There's no lag. It doesn't have any of the old problems that we used to experience as bandwidth increases. So overall, thumbs up for Apple. Did you have any thoughts about the new Apple TV? They finally stepped up to high def. It's about time on that. But I think we all hope for a real TV, not just a TV interface.
That, you know what? That may come later this year. The new Cube, as I call it, the new Apple TV Cube, looks really good. It's HDMI and 1080p. Nothing wrong with that. It looks like they've enhanced the software to make it a little simpler, which is good. Tons of good stuff there. But again, not revolutionary, more evolutionary, right? It's just building on what they already have done really well. So
and holding,
yeah, it's all good.
And holding the line on pricing, important. Dropping the price of the iPad too, very good.
Yeah, I like that as well for education and
absolutely,
for people you know, that are looking to get into the tablet space. It makes it more affordable, which is always a good idea.
There we go. Paul DeMera is a technical guru at Rogers, and he's our expert for all things wireless. Thanks so much, Paul.
You're welcome, Steve. Have a good one.
As I mentioned off the top of the show, this week's Dottotech is a slightly different version. It's just a podcast only. We're recording the show in my home studio, taking a month off from the radio station as we structure some things on the show, but we'll be back in April with all new shows on the air over the radio station, that is. But in the meantime, we will continue doing this podcasting. Now, as far as the quality of this particular episode goes, my apologies, mea culpa. Just as I was setting up to record this show, my audio interface failed, and I'm actually using an old USB headset to record the show in order to get it out on time. So next week we will have the proper gear back in place. It's like a $100 item that broke. So I apologize, and all those audiophiles out there who are now cringing as they listen to the podcast, I'm sorry, but we'll have it back in shape next week. I also wanted to mention that Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better. London Drugs has long been a supporter of Dottotech, so certainly for people in the West, it's a drugstore that does so much more. All of your prescriptions, all of your small appliances for your home, television sets, that sort of stuff, as well as, of course, a wonderful computer department. And joining me online now is Gillian Shaw, technology reporter for the Vancouver Sun. And Gillian, you guys covered the new iPad launch event, as every traditional newspaper does. I think you basically streamed it online.
Yeah, we did a few things with it. It was launch times are always fun because we like to get together with people and talk about them and what's new and what it means. So we actually had a group of Apple experts and technologists come to the newsroom and kind of have a sit-around panel discussion about, even as the event in San Francisco was unfolding, about the new iPad. So that was, you know, in addition to putting the story in the newspaper and all the other things we do.
So that was interesting. You were doing a streaming commentary on a streaming event.
Exactly. This is technology, you know, coming back on itself, right, Steve?
A little bit surreal for sure. So what was the take of your panel and you? First of all, are you going to buy one of these iPads?
You know, I never say never, Steve, because when these new devices come out, if I already have one or I think that I have enough or spent enough money this year, I say, no, I'm not, you know, I'll just bypass this release. And the minute I get near a lineup and the prospect of actually being able to buy one, it still comes the credit card, ka-ching, ka-ching. So I may be going for this one because I'm one of the people that skipped the iPad 2. Now, people on our...
Oh, you've got an iPad 1.
Yes, I have a wood-burning iPad, Steve. So I might be one of these people that would be in the market for a new iPad. But what I'm hearing, both from our panelists, John Miller is a very much an Apple early adopter, has every, you know, iPhone ever made and bought the first iPad and then the second. For him, this is the first time he won't be buying a new iPad as soon as it comes out. He has the iPad 2. Now it's his work one. But he said, as well, it's just the, you know, it's only been a year, and the changes aren't, they're incremental changes. If you didn't own
yeah.
an iPad, it would be great. Great time to think.
I absolutely agree with them. You know, it's interesting because I, looking at it, I've said they're not doing anything new. They just do what they did better. And so having an iPad 2 and an iPhone, which tethers nicely for my internet and it really works fine as far as work goes, I'm going to wait too. I'm going to sit and wait on upgrading unless I absolutely have to because some disaster befalls my existing one.
Exactly. And as John pointed out, the price, you see, if you wanted to sell your iPad 2, the time to do it was ahead of the announcement of the new iPad. Yeah. Now, of course, the price has dropped because Apple is selling the iPad 2 for $100 less, starting at $419 in Canada. So, of course, if you were one of those people who wanted to sell a used iPad 2, there goes your market's just dropped a bit.
Dropped by another $100. Now, that price adjustment is excellent. Yeah, absolutely. That price adjustment, I do like that as far as the education market's concerned.
I think that's a good idea. I deal a lot with schools through the Vancouver Sun Children's Fund Adopt a School program. And, of course, that technology, the little divide between the haves and the have-nots, I mean, they're the parents groups that can afford to fund and buy iPads for everybody in the school. And then there are the kids in inner-city schools who have Bob and no hope of ever getting their hands on one. Well, having even a $100 price drop makes a difference if you're fundraising and trying to raise money to put iPads into the hands of students, particularly what we're seeing, special needs students can make great progress and great strides forward using the technology.
Yeah, it is really engaging for them. So now what did your panel, other than the gentleman that decided that he was going to hold off and stay with his iPad 2, what was the take of the rest of your panel on the announcements?
Well, you know, there are some interesting things. One of the things that we learned is the software developers and the companies that have apps on the iPad, this is going to send some of them scrambling because, of course, they'll want to optimize their apps to take advantage of the new features. Now, one of the new features for people in the sort of the fashion or magazine, you know, really, really high glossy photo kind of types, is the better screen, is the much improved screen and imaging on the iPad. So we heard from Atimi Software. In fact, Scott Michaels, the vice president of Atimi, was with us, and as we were talking, his phone was buzzing with his clients calling to say, now we've only got so many days, we need to revamp our iPad app to take advantage of the better screen. Gaming is another area because of the quad-core processor and the improved processing power of the iPad. game, you know, people are wondering whether the iPad will really give sort of game devices a run for their money. This has made a significant step forward in that. And also for musicians, they updated GarageBand. And one of the consequences, Scott was telling me of this improved processing power, there's a company that he's working with that has an app that contains music. If a band just plays, the app can actually translate that music into a score, which is quite, you know, phenomenal. That's really something Mozart could never have imagined. But part of
it's like voice recognition for music.
Music recognition, I guess, in a way other than Shazam. But this is something that they were having difficulty with because the old, now old iPad wasn't quite up to the task. But the new one should make that, you know, according to Scott, that is going to be a possibility and make it and much improve that. So those kind of changes, I think it's going to take a while for them to sort of trickle down and people to realize the impact of the new iPad.
And you know, hearkening back to that, the Retina display that you're talking about, the thing that's shocked me as they were going through the presentation is it is a higher resolution than any device that we have really in our home today. It's a higher resolution than your high def television set. It's certainly higher resolution than almost any of your computer monitors are at this point. So it's really in it's the pixels per inch is like something like 230 or 260 pixels per inch, which is almost 300 DPI printing. If we stop and think back to the days when we're talking about, you know, high quality printing was 300 dots per inch, or a high-quality laser printer. That's the resolution we're getting out of these screens now with over 3 million pixels. It's staggering, the resolution.
Yeah, and it's four times that of the iPad 2. So you probably can't see it unless you hold one up against the other. But that is certainly going... Who'd have thought that we'd have this screen with a better resolution than our HD TV?
And here's the kicker. You know, when I look at my iPad 2 screen, I think it's a great screen.
Well, don't look at a new one, Steve. You might not be satisfied.
Oh, that's it. That might make all the difference. Now, what about the LTE? In Canada, we're blessed with the fact that all of our carriers are rolling out LTE, with only a couple down in the States, so we're getting much more coverage. Are you excited about the potential of having that high a bandwidth whenever you're traveling about?
You know, I thought that was in the rumor mill whether that Apple would go with LTE or not, because of course it's known, you know, it's a battery drain, and that could cause, you know, that could cause problems with, you know, much loved battery length. So I was happy to see it go with LTE enabled, because just personally as a consumer, I don't want to be buying a device that's for the old network or old technology. Once LTE has rolled out and you've used it and I've used it, it does make a difference, and it's sort of going to be the new standard we expect. So if you're shelling out $500 or more for a tablet right now, I just think it's doubtful that you would want to be buying that doesn't work on one of these new faster devices or new faster networks.
Now, on the global market of the tablets, you know, Apple didn't show us anything revolutionary, but they definitely raised the barrier and raised the bar by, you know, adding some really refining the iPad. The numbers that Tim Cook rolled out as far as the Apple, you know, iOS penetration, the number of devices that they've sold in this last, you know, last quarter, some 60 million iOS devices. Is Apple, in your mind, really just stretching its lead on all of the Android and other tablet developers?
Well, that's a fun, because we see the numbers, you know, going up and down, and there's always, you know, that market share. Also, there's the question of, you know, when some manufacturers give their numbers, as we talked about yesterday when we were discussing this with the panel, that, you know, some will measure units shipped to the stores, while others it's the actual sales. So that numbers game is a bit difficult to keep up with, because it's, of course, always changing. The other thing is we have a very North American-centric view here, and Apple, when it launches a new product, has lineups out the door, although I think the lineups were significantly less, if in some places not at all, with the iPad 2, because it was just an update of a device that was already out. As with the first iPad, I don't know whether you remember, people were camped out for a long time for that. So we get a bit of that. We get a bit of that skewed view, which we did not have if we were in Europe or other parts of the world. Although, undoubtedly, Apple is setting the agenda for, and did so with the iPad. I mean, the others have come out with their versions of tablets, and there've been some notable failures, like HP. Its attempt was soon in the bargain bins. Research in Motion, the playbook is discounted and seems to be going nowhere fast. So. For sure, Apple seems tapped into the sweet spot where all these tablet makers want to be.
And they keep holding their, holding the price line is great, but Apple also makes substantial margin on these products, so they've got the money to invest to continue pushing the envelope. So it should be interesting. I've been thinking about your situation, Jillian, and I've decided you do need to get the iPad 3, or sorry, the new iPad. I thought because I'm not going to get one, and I need
your blessing, Steve. And you just send along your credit card in that recommendation, and I'll be down
well,
in the lineup.
Come
I'll
on.
Get you one as well.
You work for the big newspaper. Those guys got they got money just hand over fist, don't they? They're buying you every tech.
They just hand them out by the box, load, Steve. Of course.
There's as you come in, it's a parting gift for visiting the Sun newsroom.
Well, I'll tell you, Steve, when we were having a discussion in our newsroom about with our the CEO of Post Media about newspapers, Chris, one of the ideas journalists are pushing is that we hand out a tablet to everybody who subscribes to the paper. So far, we're not running the company, Steve, so don't count on that. But I think it would be a great
idea. That's. Well, I tell you, with that screen, with that Retina screen, the future, and we know that the future of publishing is at risk. Certainly traditional newspaper publishing, and I'm not sure how much this Retina display will have an impact on the newspaper publishing game, but on the magazine publishing game, it's going to have a profound effect as more products become online and as they start to take advantage of that resolution of that screen.
I think it's only going to be better. Only going to be better for us because we're in the publishing business, publishing both print and online and on all devices. So devices that give you more scope for sharing that content, I think that can only be good.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And, in as much as it means that much to you, whenever I think about the education market, I think it means that much more. So the future is fairly bright for a lot of the different publishing concerns out there as they start to embrace this technology.
I think you're right.
Oh, good. So we agree. So next time you're coming into the studio, I want you bringing in that new iPad, that new shiny new iPad, and let me play with it. Because
wear your sunglasses. So that's all I can say.
Jillian Shaw is the technology writer for the Vancouver Sun. You can find her online at thevancouversun.com. Thanks, Jillian.
Thanks, Steve.
And with that, we have reached the end of this week's show. Our first outside of the studio, which was an interesting experience, but all things considered, I think it went quite well. Helped in no small part, of course, by Apple releasing the new iPad, which was the topic du jour. A quick reminder to drop by our website to enter. We still have a few contests left. We've got a quick TurboTax giveaway, so you can enter to win a free copy of TurboTax, and we have one more week left in our LTE modem from Rogers that we are giving away, which is a superb prize for some lucky listener. Dottotech.com is the address. You can, of course, listen to this or previous podcasts at the site, as well as drop us messages and read different, and basically anything that happens on the show, it's all reflected at the website. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week right here on Dottotech.